So this morning, I want to take a look at the story of Bartimaeus. It's in Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. We'll get it there on the screen. And after I've got a short video clip after this, and then after that, the kids can head off to their program. So here's the story that we'll be looking at this morning. Jesus and his disciples went to Jericho, and as they were leaving, they were followed by a large crowd. A blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that it was Jesus from Nazareth, he shouted, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." Many people told the man to stop, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him over." They called out the blind man and said to him, "Don't be afraid. Come on, he's calling for you." The man threw off his coat, and as he jumped up, he ran to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man answered, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "You may go. Your eyes are healed because of your faith." Right away, the man could see, and he went down the road with Jesus. So this morning, rather than taking an analytical, kind of exegetical approach to looking at this passage, I'm going to try to imitate Jesus by using stories, parables. And often in the accounts of Jesus, we hear, you know, he tells this parable, and then later when he's apart with his disciples, there's this conversation about, what did that mean? And so that's what I'm hoping to do. And originally I had three stories. This morning, Jimmy came in and he said, "Have you seen this National Geographic clip about these two blind kids getting their eyesight back?" And I said, "No. You know, tell me about it." So, anyways, we've got this extra story. So, Matt, if you could bring that up and play that. What would it be like to get your sight back if you've been blind for most of your life?
দেখতে পাই গেলে তো খুব আমি মনে করবো যে খুব ভালো লাগে।
You need more of heart than your hand in doing service for children. Anita and Sonia come from a very poor family. If they are not operated, they remain blind for life. And what happens in most of the cases, they are used by the family as beggars.
আশা রাখছি আমার মেয়েকে নিয়ে এসছি, মানে কালকে আমার মেয়ের অপারেশন হলে আমাকে দেখবে চোখ ভর্তি। ইংলিশটা খুলে দেয়, সে ছুটে নামিয়ে আর এমনিতে বলে, মা আমি দেখতে পাচ্ছি দেখতে পাচ্ছি। তাদের ভবিষ্যৎ যেন ফিরে আসে সেটাই তো চাই মা বাবা, বলো। লাস্ট কথা আমি আর কি বলবো, আপনাদেরকে ধন্যবাদ দেওয়ার দরকার আপনাদেরকে।
Dismissed. Yep, there we go. Okay, for our kids. Mark's perspective in this story is as a narrator. He's kind of flying at this 40,000-foot altitude and gives us this overview of these events that are going on. What would it be like to be in the crowd or to be one of the characters in this story? What if you were one of his apostles? What would you hear? What would you see? What would you smell? I'd like you to join me in a short imagining of being one of those apostles in this story. Oh, it's hot already, and it's still early morning. There it is. The pass of Adamin, up alongside the south canyon edge of the Wadi Gelt, then west through the desert wilderness, and 8 hours from now, we arrive in Jerusalem for the Passover. 8 hours in this heat. Oh. With the morning sun shining on the gorge walls, I can see why it's called the Red Ascent, Adamin. That red rock is really red. Even back in the time of Joshua, it was called Adamin, when it was used as part of the tribal boundary between Judah and Benjamin. This morning feels different than the other times I've done this pilgrimage. I don't think it's the heat, no. I think it's got to be the crowd. There's a different atmosphere here today, different than the other years when I've made this trip. It's got to be because of Jesus and us, the apostles. Look at how the people are pushing and squirming at each other, trying to get closer to Jesus. We are popular figures. At each town and city, the crowds keep getting bigger. Just like his namesake Joshua, Jesus crossed the Jordan, and the walls of Jericho couldn't keep us out. And we didn't even have to circle the city for a week. Looking at the size of this crowd, I think we've taken Jericho by storm. Now we move on to take Jerusalem. I wonder what his entrance into Jerusalem will be like. How can he talk about dying when the crowds keep getting larger and his popularity increases? I bet this Passover, his kingdom will fully come. That should put me in a good position. Hey there, what's this crowd all about? Jesus. Jesus, the prophet from Galilee? Yes, him. And his apostles. What's he doing this far south? We're on our way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. We? You've got a Galilean accent. You one of his followers? Certainly am. Actually, one of his apostles, actually. Apostle? What's that? It means I'm part of the hand-picked inner circle of 12 disciples. He's preparing us for his coming kingdom. So I actually live, eat, and walk with him while he teaches us, prepares us for that kingdom. Are the stories of his healings and demons leaving people at his command true? For sure. Not only him, but he's shared his power with us, his apostles. We also heal people and tell demons to leave. There's nothing like it, having power over demons and illness. There was a time when I came to a man and, oh, why'd the crowd stop moving? hey, the crowd is silent. What's happening? I can't see what's going on. I should be closer. Excuse me, let me pass. I'm one of his apostles. Excuse me, let me get through. Excuse me, I'm one of his chosen 12. Jesus, the crowd is so thick, I can't get through. I can't see what's happening. Now the crowd is cheering. What happened? What did I miss seeing? Maybe a different take, a different perspective on the story. Immediately before this story, we have James and John asking Jesus if they can sit at his right and left hand when the kingdom comes. I think some of that gets maybe captured in this story, hopefully. I think there's some other things that go on in the story as well. I think you have an apostle that's feeling really insecure, who's looking for affirmations from people around him about how important he is. It's a story I'm not very satisfied with. So what if it was rewritten? Taking a different perspective, a different approach. What if it sounded like this? Oh, it's hot already, and it's still early morning. There it is. The Pass of Adamin, up alongside the South Canyon edge of Wadi Gelt. Then west through the desert wilderness, and 8 hours from now, we arrive in Jerusalem for the Passover. 8 hours in this heat. Whew. With the morning sun shining on the gorge walls, I can see why it's called the Red Ascent, Adamin. The red rock is really red. Even back in the time of Joshua, it was called Adamin, when it was used as part of the tribal boundary between Judah and Benjamin. This morning feels different than the other times I've done this pilgrimage, and I don't think it's the heat. No, it's the crowd. There's different atmosphere here, different than the other years when I've done this trip. It's got to be because of Jesus. Look at how the people are pushing and squirming, trying to get past each other to be close to him. At each town, the city and the crowds keep getting bigger as the stories about him spread. Just like his namesake, Joshua, Jesus crossed the Jordan and the walls of Jericho could not keep him out. And we didn't have to circle the city for a week. Looking at the size of this crowd, I think he's taken Jericho by storm. Now we move on to take Jerusalem. I wonder what his entrance into Jerusalem will be like. How can he talk about dying when the crowds keep getting larger and his popularity increases? I bet this kingdom, this Passover, we'll see his kingdom fully come. Man, this crowd sure makes it hard to keep close to him. Hey there, what's this crowd out about? Jesus. Jesus, the prophet from Galilee? Yes, him. What's he doing this far south? We're on our way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. We? You've got a Galilean accent. You're one of his followers? Yes, I am. Are the stories of his healings and the demons leaving people at his command true? For sure. I've been there many times when he's healed people, restored deformed legs, commands demons to leave, and forgives people their sins. It's amazing to see God at work in Israel again. I've got to keep moving so I can keep up with him. The size of the crowd today is making it hard to keep up. Come with me. Who knows what you'll see today? Andrew. Yes, Jesus. Do you hear that call? Call? What call? I can't hear anything except the noise of the crowd. No, listen. Can't you hear it? A man calling for mercy? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. There it is. Yeah, I can hear it now. Find that man and bring him to me. Find that man in this crowd. The voice is coming from the north side of the road. Excuse me. Excuse me. Oh, it's hard to get through this crowd. Excuse me. Where's that voice? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Excuse me, let me through. The voice is getting closer. This is the edge of the crowd. Where is he? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. It's a beggar. He's sitting on the edge of the road, on the edge of this crowd. Doesn't he know he could get trampled? Hello, Jesus told me to bring him to you. Get up, let's go. Don't walk so fast. Don't you see? Can't you tell I can't see? Wait a minute. My coin bowl. I left my coin bowl behind. Don't worry about that. Jesus wants you to come to him. What is with the crowd? They're parting like the Red Sea for Moses. Walking through the crowd is so easy now. They're stepping back to let us pass, and they're quiet. Oh, this is weird. Here he is, Jesus, the man calling for mercy. What do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, let me see again. What is going on? His blank, clouded eyes are changing. Now there's a glint in his eyes. His eyes, they're moving side to side. The expression on his face, oh my, and he's looking around, mouth wide open. I think he can see again. This is amazing. And the crowd just realized what happened and is cheering, praising God. What is Jesus saying to the man? I can't hear what they're saying to each other. The crowd is just too loud. I invite your comments on these two stories. Two different versions or two different experiences of this story with Bartimaeus. Any comments between the two? Oh, yeah.
First one, the apostle's like at the back, you know, he's kind of looking on and he's feeling really insecure. And then the second one, there's just that interaction with Jesus and it just changes everything, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That was my
sense. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought in the first story, the apostle was mostly looking inwards at himself. And in the second story, he's interacting with what's going on, looking outwards.
Mm-hmm.
There's this famous Japanese movie called Rashomon of the same story told from four different perspectives, and you see four different vantage points. And here, you shared the same story told in two different ways, and we see it so much more rich than this text, which on its surface seems very bland and very, very boring. And you've by making it into a narrative, you added so much more richness mm-hmm. because you've provided these different vantage points.
Yeah. I think there's four different ways that we learn. The obvious one is in the classroom setting, the lecture, where we gather knowledge in theory and hopefully find ways to apply it. I think a second way that we learn is experience, hands-on, successes, failures, the school of hard knocks. A third way is the experiences and stories of others, from their mistakes, from their successes. And as adults, that's a very powerful learning way for us. That's one of the ways we tend to learn very, very well. And the fourth way I think we learn is from reflection. And this reflection on things that can be going on in our lives, it can also include imagination. So like these two stories I just did. And this is not daydreaming, rather it's intentional. It's considering different scenarios, paying attention to what I feel as I consider those scenarios. If I invite the Holy Spirit into that imagining, it becomes a process of prayerful discernment as I ask the Spirit to help me notice if a version of the story feels satisfying or dissatisfying, life-giving, life-taking. Is there a sense of peace or anxiety, emptiness, completeness? This is a very old spiritual exercise. Sometimes it's called imaginative prayer or imaginative contemplation. When I did this exercise with this parable, that reflective process taught me something about myself. How I postured myself to look good, like that first story, in the eyes of others. And really what I was doing is I was feeling an insecurity and trying to meet that insecurity by the affirmation or evaluations of others. That's why I rewrote the story, because I wasn't happy with how it played out. The beauty of it is I made that mistake in my imagination instead of real life. And I got to rewrite it and learn and experience what it might be if I did it where I was focused outward, as you said. I'd like to share one final parable with you, one third perspective in the story. Footsteps. Spare coins for blind? Spare coins for the blind? There they go. Not even a coin, not even a hello. As if I'm invisible, the unseen man. There was a time when I was visible, when I could see and my work was visible for all to see. People sought me out for my stonework, and now I'm a nobody who has nothing to show for a day's work, except maybe a few coins. Oh, it's hot this morning. No shade now, just sun overhead for the rest of the day. Where is everybody today? This is usually a good spot to be. I can usually get a few coins from passersby by now. Nobody. Geez, it's going to be another hungry night. Seems like the only creatures around are the annoying flies buzzing around my head. They're the only things that don't ignore me. I must smell pretty ripe to them, sitting in the dirt, sweating in the sun. And when was the last time I had a bath? Maybe they're miniature vultures circling over a dying beast, waiting, anticipating a feast for their maggots. They sure like to be around me, but they're lousy company. God says that it's not good for man to be alone. Adam got Eve, I get flies. Voices. There are people coming. Lots of voices. Where's my coin box? Pennies for the blind. Pennies for the blind. More voices. More people. This is a crowd. Maybe this is my lucky break. I've got to get noticed. Money for the blind. Have pity on a blind man. Spare coins for the blind. Jeez, I'm invisible and unheard. What was that? Jesus? There was again, Jesus' name. And Galilean accents. Could it be Jesus from Nazareth? What is he doing this far south? Maybe he'll see me. Or not. Well, at least he will hear me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Nothing. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up, you fool. We're trying to hear Jesus. Yeah, stop making a racket. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of... Why is it quiet so suddenly? I can sense people around me, the shuffling, the breathing. Yet they're quiet, standing still, only a few whispers. What have I done? Footsteps. They're in front of me. Hello. Jesus told me to bring you to him. Get up, let's go. That's a Galilean accent. He means you, blind man. Get up. Sounds like Jesus wants to see you. Might be your lucky day for all you know. That's a firm grip on my arm. Beats the swats I've had. Easy, don't walk so fast. Don't you know I can't see? Wait a minute. My coin bowl. I left my coin bowl behind. Don't worry about that. Jesus wants you to come to him. Everybody's attention is on me. I can feel their eyes. Oh, man. Maybe it was better being invisible. My footsteps crunching on the gravel never sounded so loud. Feels like the crowd is parting, like the Red Sea did for Moses. That was the moment of his deliverance, not mine. Here he is, Jesus, the man calling for mercy. What do you want me to do for you? He's asking me what I want from him. Rabbi, let me see again. The darkness is changing. It's lightning. Fog. No images. People. Sky. Big, bright, blue sky. Go. Your faith has made you well. That voice. That's the voice that spoke to me. Where is he? Everyone's eyes are focused on me. Wait. No, those eyes. Those eyes are different. Go. Your faith has made you well. My faith? What faith? Do you mean my desperation? His eyes looking at me, deeply at me. Wow, for the first time in my life, I'm fully seen.